Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. Well, we reported yesterday that Julian Assange, the man behind the whistleblower website WikiLeaks, turned himself in to British authorities. There's a prosecution that's ongoing. His bail was denied. He faces sexual misconduct charges in Sweden, and the question of his extradition is still in the hands of authorities. But the pushback has begun on both Assange and WikiLeaks. MasterCard, Visa, PayPal have suspended use of their brands by WikiLeaks. A Swiss bank, Post Finance, has frozen Assange's legal defense fund. There have been attacks on the WikiLeaks site, so it's been migrated from server to server around the world. Amazon also has turned its back on the site. Joining us to talk about some of the business and technical implications of what's going on here is Ryan Single from Wired Magazine, or from the Wired Multimedia Empire, I think it's fair to say. Good morning, Ryan.
John, thanks for having me on.
And thanks for getting up so early out there in San Francisco, California. Joining us from Virginia is Lauren Bloom, who's a business ethics consultant. Lauren, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Ryan, let's begin with you because there's a technical story here. It seems that there is an electronic war on all kinds of fronts to deny WikiLeaks access to the Internet, to deny people access to WikiLeaks, and to sort of isolate WikiLeaks from various business relationships that up till now had probably been aiding in its operation. What's going on here?
What we're seeing is we have a number of U.S. companies who are voluntarily and perhaps a little behind the scenes, sort of arm twisting, removing services from WikiLeaks. So, for instance, Amazon, MasterCard, PayPal, Visa have all decided that they don't want to serve WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks needs the payment processors because they're a donation-based organization. Amazon was providing some hosting when WikiLeaks was under attack on its main website. So this is a fairly unprecedented situation. Normally, these companies, you know, tend to just serve whoever comes along without choosing winners and losers. So this is a pretty interesting sort of use of, or we're seeing commercial organizations largely kowtowing to the U.S. government's rhetoric against WikiLeaks.
Well, there's the commercial dimension. There's also the sort of Internet battle itself, almost like a sequel to Tron, which we expect sometime later on this month. How does what's going on with the actual operation of WikiLeaks on the Internet compare with what, say, China did to combat or to try to shut down Google, or to take steps against people's access to Google and other sites some months ago?
Well, so far we haven't really seen quite China-level tactics. So we're not seeing governments requiring filtering of WikiLeaks. You know, the government has said that federal employees can't see it. So if you're at the Library of Congress, or you can't get to WikiLeaks on their servers. But in terms of citizens being able to get there, we haven't quite got to China-level tactics. But like what happened in China, we had where you had companies like Baidu, which is a competitor to Google,
sure,
a search engine. It was sort of doing what the government sort of wants it to do ahead of time without actually being asked. And that turns out to be a competitive advantage. And we're seeing a little bit of that behavior here with Amazon and PayPal and sort of other companies sort of doing, you know, things that they think the government will like them to do without actually being asked to do it.
So the government is in a position to enforce a kind of divide and conquer strategy here. Let's talk a little bit about something you said in passing a moment ago, Ryan, that federal employees are being observed if they go on WikiLeaks. We also heard yesterday about a Navy petty officer who was caught selling documents, and it was basically a federal sting operation because he sold them to an informant. It seems like the vigilance and observance of all kinds of government workers around the world has suddenly been kicked up a couple of notches.
Observation of what employees do at work, particularly federal employees, has been fairly long-standing. I think it's pretty interesting that, you know, we're not just sort of watching if employees are going here, but, you know, we're seeing them definitely be blocked. You know, this is not uncommon in the military where, you know, they try to lock down certain websites for a long time. Military employees had a difficult time getting to Facebook or Twitter for fear that they were going to share secrets. So that's not too unprecedented, you know, but I think kind of looking more at the civilian internet where, you know, people are looking at documents that are, you know, essentially legal to be published. This so far WikiLeaks has not been charged with a crime. It's pretty extraordinary.
Indeed. And it sort of gives us a sense of the wide array of tools and the sort of huge landscape here in terms of business relationships, electronic relationships, hosting relationships, and the ability of governments to observe the behavior of people who are on the Internet. Ryan Singel, staff writer for Wired, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, but Lauren Bloom, we want to continue this discussion, but let's get a quick sort of hit from you at the bottom of the segment here. You're a business ethics consultant. It seems to me that the various partners of WikiLeaks or business clients of WikiLeaks would have very different reasons for deciding to step away. Give us a sense of the various kinds of motives we would be seeing here.
Well, I think there may be one single motive that explains a lot. Yesterday, it was rather widely reported that WikiLeaks is now threatening, if Assange is ever brought to trial, to release the cyber equivalent of a nuclear bomb, all of the documents that they have without any editing, at which point there may be information about informants, information about individuals whose lives could be put at stake, information about supply chains and how to blow them up. So I think if I were representing or advising one of the companies that's been working with WikiLeaks, I might very well tell them to step away now before they became part of that detonation.
All right. That's the sort of nuclear option there. But if WikiLeaks doesn't make good on that threat, it stands to reason that, you know, some companies would have all kinds of reasons for stepping away from a mess like this. Companies don't typically like press. They don't necessarily like to be in a controversy like this and don't like to be at odds with the government. And different companies would have different reasons for that. Lauren Bloom, stay with us. When we come back, we'll talk about the different landscape, assuming the nuclear option isn't actually used. Lauren Bloom is a business ethics consultant talking with us about the decision by some businesses to step away from WikiLeaks as the pendulum swings against Julian Assange, now in custody in Britain.